I've noticed a change in you recently. You're not as bubbly and effervescent and cheerleader-like as you used to be. You seem to be a little bit more laid back and kind of irritated and sensitive and uglier, and your clothes don't match, and you just kind of seem to have a bad attitude. Oh, wait a minute. That's me I'm talking about.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
I got that wrong. I thought it was you. It's me.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I think it started from my childhood when I was...
Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the... Whew. Don't talk to me like that. Don't talk to me. Attitude. I'm sensing attitude in you as well. It's not just me. I'm sensing attitude in you. So just buck up, bucko. God. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. If you've never listened to this program before, then I don't know what to say. I just know what to say. I've been doing this internet podcast thing for well over a year now. Hundreds upon hundreds of episodes, and you can't take like 3 minutes out of your day to sit down for an hour with me. Come on, man. Do you realize how much I sweat and toil? Do you realize I have to sit in a chair for up to an hour and talk? Do you realize how exhausting that is? How my muscles ache? How I have a bulging disc as a result of talking so much, sitting in a chair while I drink either coffee or some type of alcoholic beverage. You know how difficult that is? To have to get up every morning, go to a studio and sit down. Do you know how difficult that can be? Yeah, sure. You go build bridges and solve your math problems and fix your water heaters and sit in those offices of yours and do data processing. I don't know if it's data or data. I have no idea. Just working your fingers off with your carpal tunnel syndromes. Yeah, you got it easy compared to what I do. I have to sit here in a chair. I know. Sometimes I'll stand up and do this show, and then I feel like, well, I should sit down for a while, and I sit down. Yeah, I do. So don't give me that bullshit that you got it tougher than I do, because I don't think so. Come on. Hold on while I take a little sip of my coffee with Kahlua involved while I work. Man, that's good. That was exhausting, too, lifting that cup up to my mouth. You think that's easy? You think my elbows just work automatically? No. I have to send some type of nerve transmission to my brain to make that elbow bend to get that cup to my mouth. So don't you dare, tell me that I don't work hard to do this show like some type of little puppet boy for your entertainment. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm a puppet boy. My strings have been cut so that I can entertain and dance for you and tell funny stories and be sarcastically enthusiastic about things and entertain you so you can laugh and guffaw. Yeah, you're happy. But look what I have to go through. My mouth has got to move for up to an hour. Do you realize how many times I part my lips and close them again to form words and phonetic sounds? It's exhausting for anybody, much less for me, who is the laziest son of a bitch I've ever met in my life. That's me I'm talking about. At least I know who I am. I own that. I don't know what the hell that phrase means. I own that. You don't own it. You are that. Would you buy yourself? What are you talking about? You own it. Get out with these stupid phrases. All these competitive TV shows come up with these stupid phrases. Hey, well, you got to own it. Hey, that was a great song. You really sang it. You owned it. You don't own it. You don't own that song. You don't own anything. You can't afford to buy anything, much less own anything. What are you talking about? You rent your apartment, but you own it? You own yourself? Of course you own yourself. Who else is going to own you? You're free. You don't cost any money. You're not worth anything. Now, that stupid phrase from The Apprentice, who's that guy who was on The Apprentice? Donald Mumps or Dumps? I don't even know his name. They came up with the phrase at the end of the day, and they use it for everything. Well, I tried everything else, and I had a wonderful situation. But at the end of the day, why do you always wait till the end of the day? Nothing happens before that? Well, at the end of the day, why don't you sit in a rocking chair when you're 97 years old and sit back and say to yourself, well, at the end of my life, what's this? Stupid phrases. The stupid phrases we come up with. Why does that upset me so much? I don't say those stupid phrases. At the end of the day, they're stupid phrases. Got to own those stupid phrases. God. I'm going to spend some time today on the program, which I do every day. By the way, my name is Ron Van Dam. Happy to meet you. Extend your arm at this time. Shake my hand. Very nice. Now, no high five. No low five. No fist bumps. No nostril kisses. Nothing like that. Let's just be old school. You shake my hand, then we both go wash them or add that antibacterial lotion to our hands. Let's just do it the old-fashioned way. Although I've said on the podcast before, my favorite way of greeting somebody is to bow at the waist, like I believe the Chinese people and the Japanese people and the Martians. I believe they all bow at the waist. It's a sign of respect. I bow to you, sir. There's no touching. Nobody touches each other. They just bow, and you nod in a very affirmative, yes, I notice your presence. I bow to your presence. I think that's very, very nice. I don't want to go kissing anybody's rings or anything like that. I don't know where the rings have been. No, I'm not going to kiss any rings or anything like that. But I will bow. I will bow because I don't touch nothing. I think that's a wonderful thing. I wish we could get into bowing. I really do. Just bow. Just bow. Curtsy if you want to. I don't know what curtsy is. I think you got to wear a skirt for that. You got to lift your skirt up and show your private parts. I think that's what a curtsy is. Man can't curtsy. Man can only bow. But I like the bow. The bow is nice. Let's go back to the bow. Did we ever have the bow? We never had the bow in this country. They have it in the Far East, the East that's really far away. They do it. I think they do it in the Greater Antilles as well. I'm not sure about that. You can look that up. I'm not sure. But let's get into the bow. So when I see you next time, I'm just going to bow to you. But it's not in a subservient sense where I bow to you because of your excellence and your superiority. It's not that kind of bow. It's a bow of, I recognize that you're standing in front of me. I mean, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, get out of the way. I'm going to bow to you. Now get the hell out of here. I think that's what the bow is to me. The bow is, I recognize that you have physical space in front of me here. And to be courteous, I will bow so that you don't touch me. I don't want you to touch my hands in any high or low five. I don't want you slapping anything. I don't want to say hello to you and then slap you. And I don't want to be slapped by you either. You have to own that. No slapping, no bumping, no nothing like that. No shaking, no bumping, no slapping. Sounds like a real good porno film, doesn't it?
Mary gets the chick a bow wow. Ted comes over for the weekend. They get locked in a cabin, and chick a bow wow breaks loose, and it becomes very, very sensual and very wonderful. Mary is stuck in the cabin, this gigantic avalanche, and they are just stuck in there, and Tim is there. Yeah, it's Tim, that's who it is. No, it's Ted. Now it's Ted. And there they are, stuck in the cabin together, and they look into each other's eyes, and they notice that they're going to be stuck there for a while. So they say to themselves, why don't we just have some chickabow wow? And Mary, she takes all her clothes off one by one, first her bra, then her left shoe, then her panties, then her right shoe, then her wristwatch, then her necklace, then her earrings, and then the rest of her clothes. Ted just doesn't know how to do that, so he just removes everything by wishful thinking. And then they fall onto the bed and make wild, passionate love to each other. And they bump, and they bow, and they slap, and they shake. And then there's more bowing, and more shaking, and more slapping, and more bowing, and then more slapping, and then a little bit of slapping and shaking, and bowing, and bumping. A lot of bumping. And everything fades to black, and it's the next day, and the sun comes out, and the sun melts the avalanche snow, and Mary and Ted are able to leave the forbidden cabin. And they walk away from it toward their SUV, which has been buried by the SNOW. And they turn around and look at that cabin where it all began, where there was a night of bumping and bowing and slapping and shaking.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
You're listening to Ron Van Dam on Metro South Podcasting. Oi, he's such a mensch. I mean, a nice mensch, don't get me wrong, but still, really, a mensch.
You having a good time? Everybody having a good time? Are you buckled in? Some people were born into this world in order to spread the gospel. I am born into the world to spread sexual disease, and haven't done it very well, to be honest with you. I haven't passed on any kind of sexual disease to anybody. So I guess I have no purpose. So I'll spread the gospel. The only thing I really spread very well is cream cheese on a bagel. I do that really well, man. There are little crests in the cheese, a little like waves on the top of the cheese when it's spread on the bagel, and it's like magnificent. It looks great, like one of those food magazines. So I can spread the cheese pretty well. Can also cut the cheese rather well as well I can cut the cheese. I like to cut Gouda. Gouda's smoother than the other hard cheeses. No one likes a hard cheese, you know what I'm saying? I like the soft cheeses. The Gouda is fairly soft, and it's easy to cut the cheese with some Gouda. Is it Gouda for you? Is it Gouda for me? I can't believe you're still listening to this. I really can't. It's like a miracle to me. But don't go anywhere. Seriously. Stay. As a public service announcement on this program, I will remind you to change your oil. Seriously, don't wait for the oil light. That's my motto. Donald Trump's thing is, let's make America great again. My motto on my hat is, don't forget to change your oil. It's important. The life of the engine of your car can be extended by at least 6 miles if you properly change your oil on a regular basis. Every 36,000 miles, or actually your car would be dead by then. I'm sorry, every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, or whenever you have enough money to change your oil. About 10 years ago, it cost me like $20 to change my oil at one of those change my oil places. One of those speedy, jiffy lube job things, you know, where it takes 5 minutes for them to change your oil. I like that because changing oil shouldn't take more than 5 minutes. How long does it take to change oil? You drain the oil out of the tank, you put some new oil in. I mean, seriously, how long is that going to take? So that's where I go. And it was only like $20, like, you know, maybe 10 years ago. Now it's like $7,000 to change my oil. I think it's a little excessive. And I also have to wait 6 minutes, so it's even longer now. Today on the program, I wanted to talk about a phenomenon which is bugging me. And by the way, if you have anything that bothers you and you would like me to talk about it, which would be somewhat interactive, but not quite, but it's about as close as interactive as we're going to get, you can email me by going to MetroSouthPodcasting@AOL.com. Let me repeat that for you because I don't think you expected to have to write anything down, nor do you want to even at this juncture in our career. MetroSouthPodcasting@AOL.com. That's called an email, and you can communicate with me. And if I am somewhat lucid, I'll return your email with a response that will blow your mind. If you have any suggestions for the show, besides go fuck yourself, I mean, please, I get enough of those. Actually, don't get any of those, but don't be the first. Now, if you have some suggestions about what you would like covered on the program or something that you love that you want to hear more of, please, by the way, I ended that with a preposition, and you're not supposed to do that in speaking, public speaking. Please contact me in that sense. I don't know how you're listening to this. You could be on your smartphone. You could be on your tower computer, the computer that is large as a tower. Or it could be on your laptop, the top of your lap. I don't know where you're listening to this. Maybe you just got your window open and you live next door to me. I really don't know. But there are two ways to do this. You can go to, MetroSouthPodcasting.com. NewEnglandBroadcasting.com is the best one, NewEnglandBroadcasting.com. Or you can go to my name, RonVandam.com, RonVandam.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on TuneIn Radio. And you can find us on the Podbean syndicated network as well. So I'm just all over the freaking place. So thanks a lot for coming. And I see that you brought a cake with you. Very, very nice. I see that you cheaped out and you bought a sheet cake. That's really not cool. Sheet cakes are cakes that are designed to feed up to 700 people. They have no design, no shape. They're just little squares of freaking cake. And it's just usually a white cake or a chocolate cake with maybe some icing on it. Maybe just, you know, you want it really cheap out, they put that powdered sugar crap on the top. And then they pass it off as a cake, making believe that it really, they spent a lot of time doing this. If you really want to bring me a piece of cake or do a bake sale with me, which I love to do with you, let's do a real round, nice cake with icing in between the layers, you know, that kind of cake. And I don't care what flavor it is. Just don't put jelly and crap like that in there. I mean, save your jelly for your sandwiches. Don't put that in a cake, you know, but some nice chocolate mousse would be wonderful. That would be very pleasurable for me. Strawberries, I don't really care for fruit inside of cake. I mean, either you're going to have fruit or you're going to have cake. And then, of course, there's that thing called the fruitcake, which nobody ever eats. And when you get around the holidays, people bring over fruitcake, which is just basically a big pound. It's about a pound of crap is what it is, and nobody eats it. All the fruit is dried, and it's sweet, and it's hard as a rock. And I think you know the story. Back in the 1500s, one real obscenely gross-looking woman had no life whatsoever, so all she did was bake cakes. And she says, oh, I'll make a cake, and I'll throw little pieces of fruit in it, and it'll harden eventually, and no one will ever be able to eat it. So she made this fruit cake. I think it was 1592. Yeah, yeah. About 100 years after Columbus came over here and stayed at a Holiday Inn Express. He didn't have a lot of money. Isabella kind of cheaped out. I mean, spent all his money on the cruise over here. When he got here, he had no place to stay. See what I'm saying? So anyway, and he just rampaged all the Indian women. He had his way with all the Indian women, and it was horrible. It was horrible. Anyway, I was going to make a Bill Cosby reference, but I figured why bother? You probably did that already yourself. So there's one fruitcake, and this lady, this horribly gross lady, gave this fruitcake to another person, a neighbor, and the neighbor said, "Well, the hell am I going to say? I can't eat this. It's hard as a rock, and it's disgusting." And she regifted it and gave it to another person, and then another person, and then that was brought to a party, and that sat on a counter for like 6 months. There's only one fruitcake in existence on the entire earth, or that's all there ever was. You may have been passed that fruitcake at one point in your life, and you thought you were throwing the fruitcake in the garbage, and then the sanitation people came and they picked it up out of the trash bin. They can't recycle that. They can't recycle it. They can't get rid of it. It doesn't burn. It doesn't break down. It goes on forever. It's like energy. It never goes away. Energy lives on forever. So do fruitcakes. They're disgusting things, and I'm sorry they were ever created. So there's your fruitcake. Want a slice?
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
That's right. Hey, you hungry?
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something like cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
Thank you, everybody. Today, I'm going to focus on the internet and how much I despise it. I was not born during the internet creation. I had a life before there was an internet, and I was doing just fine. As a matter of fact, I was doing better. I don't think I know any more now than I did then. I probably do, but the information that I think I know now because I've Googled it is usually useless information. So I don't know how much better off I really am intelligently. I think you can judge if you listen to this program, probably not much. So I despise the internet. The only good thing about it is the Google thing. That's wonderful, and congratulations to Bob Google, who I guess, I don't know where they got the name from. Other than that, I think it's horrendous. Emails, not so bad. Okay, Google and emails. But then the emails brought in a whole new genre of email junk mail and what they call spam, which is actually a luncheon meat in a can. And I don't know where they get these terms from. I have no idea. They could have called it pastrami mail. I mean, it really doesn't matter. So it was just another delivery system of junk mail to me. And you know that in your emails, I would say maybe 75% to 80% of the crap you get in your emails is pure junk. About 10% of that is evil, is evil. People trying to rook you, to scam you, to take your money, to overtake your computer system, to make life horrible, to steal your identity. Ladies and gentlemen, before there was the internet, I was never concerned about someone stealing my identity. Sometimes I would leave my credit card at the store and I would call them up and I'd be frantic. I can't find my credit card. I can't find my credit card. Did I leave my credit card in your store? Yes. Is your name Bobby Smith? No. Is it Ron Van Dam?
Yes. Yes.
We have your card here. Come on down and get your card. Thank you so much. And humanity, the skies would light up and angels would sing and rainbows would just spawn all over the sky and life would be wonderful because there are good people who have my credit card when I lost it and they're happy to give it back to me. And that was about as complicated as anything got when I was growing up, when I was a young adult. Now, I live in a world of cyber attacks, people from Nigeria trying to steal all my money, hackers from other countries trying to hack me to get all my information, to hack the companies that I have dealt with, to get my credit card number, my approval numbers, everything. On the internet, you can find out anybody's age, location, marital status, arrest record, just bowling shoe size, and that's the most offensive as far as I'm concerned. You can find out where they are, what they're doing, how many times a day they blow their nose. It's all information. Everything is public record, and it's right at your fingertips, and that sucks. I don't believe that one's personal information should be so available. And the only thing between our security and our identity and cyber thieves are these little programs, or crossing your fingers and hope it doesn't happen to you. You can be as careful as you want, but if you walk into a store and you buy something and they are cyber attacked and they're hacked, your information is with the hackers now, the pirates, the internet pirates, I call them. I, matey, I've stolen your information. Yeah, matey, I'm going to make your identity walk the plank. R. And now I'm going to say another letter. T, R. If you only had one eye and a patch over the bad one and only one leg and the other one's wooden with ants and termites, you'd be a pirate too. I and R. That's the only thing I can say. Two letters of the alphabet, that's it for me. I can't express myself beyond two letters of the alphabet. I, which I only have one of. And are you going to walk the plank or not? There's a plank that we have here on all our boats. We get them from the plank store, and there's a lot of plankton on it. And if I don't like you, like Donald Trump doesn't like you, if I don't like you, I make you walk the plank. That means you're going to walk on a plank, and at the end of the plank is the ocean, because the plank extends off the pirate boat. And you'll be drowned like a rat, like a sewer rat. I say you are. and I'm going to wear funny clothes that make me look like a woman, even though I'm macho, and I'm rough, and I have a voice like I've just smoked 10 cartons of cigarettes. I just smoked 10 cartons of cigarettes, because when you're out on the open waters, you can smoke. There are no laws. There are no laws. I can smoke if I want to. I smoke them if I got them. So that's why I'm just irritated at the kind of life I have. Where's my rum? Why can't I drink other types of alcohol? I happen to like Svedka, and I happen to like Grey Goose, but I can't have it. I can only have rum because I'm a pirate, and I dress like a woman, and I have mascara under my eyes, like the people in the movies, the pirate movies. They wear mascara. Really making us look stupid as our pirate. And there's a bird on my shoulder, and it keeps shitting on my shoulder, and I have to, stinks after a while. It's like, get the hell off my shoulder, you little freaking parrot. I'm wearing a velvet jacket and a ruffled shirt on the open seas. It makes no sense, does it? No, it doesn't. I don't know why I do it. I have no idea. Are you listening to me? That's it. All my I and R. It's all. It's over, man. That's it.
It's a terrible time to live. It is internet piracy. And we are all now more vulnerable than we ever were. Now we can, before we were attacked by countries in a military sense. Now we're attacked by them in an internet sense, in a personal information sense, getting into our systems. Because everything we do in life, our living, our breathing, our hospitals, our medical care, our purchases, our everything of everything is all stored on some type of machine or in a cloud somewhere. If you look up in the sky and you see some clouds, your information is in one of those. I don't know which one it is. And I don't know which password. I don't know my password. I have like 2,000 passwords because you're not supposed to use the same one twice. What the hell am I supposed to do it? What if someone steals my password list? Some people put their password list online with a password. It's just gotten so stupid. We are so involved. We can't do anything without the smartphones, which are little computers. You got to have them with us 24/7. We've just been desecrated in our lives, both socially and intellectually. So I hate the internet. I hate the internet. I wish we could go back to pre-internet days where things were just marvelous. What happens when your internet goes down? Or if there's a storm or something, or you lose power? You feel like your liver and your lungs have been ripped out of your body. You feel empty. You feel vulnerable. It's a horrible feeling that we've put ourselves in. Ended the sentence again with a preposition. And again, I apologize. So today, we have two guests who are going to discuss this vulnerability, and I don't know where it's going to take us. I'm just sick about this whole thing. All right, let's talk about the internet data breach here and how this affects our lives. Dr. Andy Osmond is Assistant Secretary Cybersecurity and Communication with the Department of Homeland Security, and Michael Kaiser is the Executive Director of National Cybersecurity Alliance. Big titles, big things going on. I know that it's National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Of course, every day of the year should be that as well. But I understand that the two of you are going all over the place and trying to spread the word.
That's absolutely right. And you've already got the message down that every day we should be thinking about cybersecurity. Our theme this month is Our Shared Responsibility. And really, the thinking behind that theme is we're now online all the time, mm-hmm. whether it's at home, on the go from your mobile device, at work, at school, you name it. And in each of those places, you have a role in helping protect yourself, your family, and your workplace. And so, again, that theme this month is our shared responsibility, because we want people to understand that cybersecurity does need to be a part of your life, just as the internet is a part of your life.
I liken this to telemarketing phone calls and junk mail, where there are people all over the globe who are trying to take your money and trying to steal stuff from you, and they do it through the mail and they do it through the telephone. And now now it's more complicated, because now you can do it through the internet and really sting somebody pretty good.
Yeah, the cybercrime environment is obviously very robust these days, and the bad guys are very smart and very good at trying to get us to click on links or provide personal information or try to go to websites that might infect our computers with malware. So, the internet didn't create crime, but it certainly created, a platform where crime can be accelerated.
Yeah, no question about that. As a matter of fact, I mean, in my mind, I sometimes try to weigh the pros and cons and wonder if this was all worth it, to the point where now there's a creation where someone can actually steal my identity and be me and do all horrible things, where before the internet, they couldn't do that.
Well, that's true, and there's certainly downsides to the internet. Our overarching campaign for 5 years now has been Stop, Think, Connect.
Yep.
And the idea there is, as you're on the internet, as you're doing your online interactions, you need to stop and think about what you're doing.
Yeah.
But, that doesn't mean that we should avoid the value and the benefit that being online provides us. And that's why it's connect. It's stop and think, but you will ultimately connect. And that's fine, too. Just make sure you're doing it in a thoughtful manner.
I mean, I read about countries cyber attacking other countries. That wasn't a viable means of attack. Now you can devastate a financial market, whatever the case may be, like this. And I think I'm a smart person. Two of you are extremely smart, and you're intimidating me, by the way. But I know I don't think my parents understand this. They can be duped in a second. I don't think younger teenagers who are doing all kinds of stuff online, they can be duped in a second. I'm fine. I'm concerned about everybody else.
Well, I think your concern is well-founded in many ways, but I think people are getting the messages and are starting to do the things they need to do, safely and more securely. I think the young people growing up today are growing up with the internet in their life, and so they're learning how to manage that digital environment from very early on. I mean, we do know that people are concerned, though. I think there's some new study coming out from Travelers that shows that, cyber breaches and cyber risks is like the number three concern of all Americans right now. And so it's a concern, but that, for us, that concern leads to education awareness, because where people are concerned, it's an opportunity to, take a moment and learn more, which is what National Cybersecurity Awareness Month is about, about what you can do to stay safe and more secure online.
Can you give us a couple of mandatory tips?
Absolutely. I think the first one is, any device that's connected to the internet, whether it's your phone or your computer, just keep it up to date. Update the software.
Okay.
In your phone, you have that little folder that shows all the apps that aren't updated yet.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead and update those apps. It's very basic, but it can add a lot of security value.
Okay, so another key
security tip. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, smartphones don't update themselves automatically. Do we manually have to do that with a lot of carriers?
It depends on the type of phone, but with a lot of phones, you do have to do the updating yourself.
Okay.
Something else that you can do is with a website that provides email service. So most people use email from an online provider.
Yep.
For those websites, sign up for what we call multi-factor authentication. So this is when you can't just log in with your password. You may have to get a text message sent to your phone with a number that you put in in addition to your password, for example.
Uh-huh.
It sounds complicated, but it's really not in day-to-day use. And if you want to learn how to do it, just do an internet search on the name of your email provider and security. So, email provider, security, and you'll usually see one of the first few results pop up will tell you how to turn on this multi-factor authentication.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question real quick. I'm starting to get bombarded by little pop-up ads that say, your computer running slow?
And sometimes I'm getting emails saying your computer is running slow. I'm even getting phone calls at my house from people that don't speak English who say your computer has been diseased. And I mean, they're really like on the attack to take over your system here.
Yeah, that's a kind of a scam that involves computer support, which has been out there quite a bit. And it, you know, sometimes they say they're from, you know, a major company that we, you know, like Microsoft or something, and we're from the support department, and we notice you have a problem.
Right.
You know, those should be avoided at all costs. No legitimate company is going to reach out to you and tell you by phone that there's a problem with your computer, right? I mean, that's just people just have to sort of accept that. And also, and I know it's hard when the pop-up comes on your computer because it may look very legitimate, but you know, in most cases, that's not going to be legitimate. Now, if you are running, you know, a security software program that might be alerting you to, you know, certain kinds of problems that your system is facing, but people should just be very, very wary of those. We have very simple, and I think, you know, way of dealing with some of those issues for people, you know, in a way they can remember, which is just, if you have any doubt, if you're in doubt at all, just throw it out.
Okay, it makes sense.
A little level of suspicion here goes a long way.
Yeah, be cynical. I've spent my whole life cynical, so this is easy for me. I don't even know if you guys really called me. Wait a minute. Here's a website where everybody can go to. It's www, which I guess I don't have to say anymore. StaySafeOnline.org. That's StaySafeOnline.org. And I'm saying everybody must go to it. It takes a second. This is just as serious as it gets. If you use a computer, you just got to do this. Make sure you know everything there is to know. Stay one step ahead of the other people.
That's right. A little education goes a long way in this space. So do take the time. Go to the staysafeonline.org website.
Yeah.
You can also go to dhs.gov/stopthinkconnect.
Good.
Both of those websites have lots of great resources.
Very important. Okay. We always want to be safer. And I thank you so much for your time today. And I'll say thank you for your service. I mean, seriously. Please, everybody, follow up on this and make sure you know everything there is to know. And pass it on to other people and to your kids and to your elders, because those are the people that really need it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so now you have that. Now, it costs you money to protect yourself, and businesses need to have cyber insurance because they can be hacked at any time. So this is an added expense to businesses, which means they have to charge us consumers more money and maybe pay their employees less money because now there's this big extra charge. So let's speak to Tim Francis about this. Hello, Tim. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. Tim Francis is a participant in the Department of Homeland Security's Cyber Incident Data and Analysis Working Group, which is a lot of big title. And he's also with the Travelers Insurance. He's Enterprise Lead for Cyber Insurance with them. So we're talking about cyber attacks, I assume is what we're doing here. And if you own a big business or small business, I guess it's time you started looking at this aspect of your business.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's you know, we read about the headlines every day, and in the headlines every day, it's usually, you know, some big brand name business that we all know about. But the reality is you know, cyber attacks and criminals behind those attacks are hitting small and mid-sized businesses, you know, not only as often, but frankly more often than they are the big business. Mostly because it's just easier to get access.
Yeah, and it's probably one of those things where, well, it hasn't happened to me yet, so I don't even think about it, and then the day comes when it does, and then it's, oh, crap, why didn't I do this?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's, you know, and you know what? It's the reality of folks that are running small business. They've got a thousand other things that they're thinking about every day just to keep their doors open and the lights on.
Sure.
So, I get it. Right, it's easy to think about, you know, my computers are running and I've got people and payroll.
Yeah, things are good. Things are good. Yeah,
things are good. But when and if one of these things happen, you know, one click, the wrong click, can not only be a pain in the neck, but in many cases, it can shut the doors of the business.
Wow. Now, I know that we're talking something, there's a possibility it goes above and beyond what the public pretty much thinks. A company is cyber attacked, and they get all the data, and they're using everybody's credit cards now, and stealing some identities along the line, and that's horrible for the consumers. But isn't there's like a ransom extortion thing going on, too, that I wasn't aware about?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's not instead of, it's on top of all the other stuff we hear about. We've got this relatively new thing. We would in the industry call it ransomware. You might have heard the term crypto locker, which is a type of ransomware. And basically, what that means is you're a small business and your employees come in one day and somebody clicks on an email that, you know, they don't realize comes from a bad source.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, your files are encrypted and blocked, and you can't get access to your operating system. And you'll get a message on your screen that says, if you want to unencrypt that data, well, guess what? You can send $300, $500, usually in bitcoins, and you'll get a message as to where to send it. And if you don't know how to get a bitcoin, you even can access a help desk to help you out and do that. And, you know, you think about a small business, and the computer systems are the lifeblood, right? Lifeblood of a big business, for that matter. So these are real things that are affecting not just the headline companies, but, you know, everyday mom and pop businesses up through the large companies.
So, I mean, I don't know what the Bitcoin is because I've never been extorted yet, but so that's not traceable? I mean, if someone says, give me a certain amount of money, otherwise you're not going to get your business back, that's not traceable when you pay these people?
Well, there's probably a dirty little secret here.
Yeah.
First of all, it's not easily traceable.
Yeah.
Second of all, if it is traceable, it's often overseas.
Oh, yeah.
And when you talk to law enforcement, they're sympathetic to the issue, but they've got, frankly, bigger fish to fry. And so for a small customer with $300, $500, you know, trying to get the FBI involved often isn't really going to win the day for you. And that's not a criticism of the FBI. They've just got, frankly, a lot of these cases on their desks, and the big ones get the most attention.
Yeah, they're all out of Nigeria. Same thing. I got a bank account here.
Yep.
I've got $2 million. Send me money, and I can send you all this money, and it's always overseas. Yeah, I guess that's the way to do that.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, I was going to say, you know, we can all snicker a little bit about those Nigerian emails, but the reality is it's not just the, you know, I'm a Nigerian prince, send me $1 million, which I think you can see coming a mile away. Some of these schemes are pretty sophisticated, often bad guys can fake your own email addresses, and so you think you might be wiring money to a colleague, to the CEO, and so real money gets sent by people that are, you know, smart people. They're not just doing something you would ordinarily think of as obviously dumb.
See, I mean, the internet's a wonderful thing, and it's changed businesses and lives as we know them, but it's created these incredible expenses as a result that we didn't have to deal with before. I assume that cybersecurity business is probably growing to be almost number one. I mean, you have to be on the defense and the attack 24/7.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I guess the good news and the bad news is, you know, there are plenty of companies out there now that specialize in cybersecurity.
Yeah.
Trying to sort out kind of who is best or who is right for any particular company, and how do you know how to know that you're spending, you know, the right amount of money and not too much money is often pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things, you know, making sure that you have the right insurance program and not only having the right coverage, but having a company that can have their own relationships with security vendors to come in when the situation demands it, I think is critical. Because otherwise, you're trying to figure out at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday who you're going to call. And even if you get the right person, you're going to spend a lot more money than you would have if you had it all lined up ahead of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's traumatic beyond words when that happens. Again, you know, it's like your neighbor's wife dies or something like that, and you never think about life insurance, and then it happens next door, and you say to yourself, oh my God, that can happen right here. And then all of a sudden you do exactly something right about it, but not until something happened next door or in your family. Yeah, I get that. I mean, yeah, it's just another expense for businesses, but now it's a necessary one. Do you think that this is a continual cyber war going on, and that'll just be the way this is, or do you think it will ever turn the corner in our favor?
Well, you know, I would hate to be too pessimistic, but I think the reality is, is, you know, what we're really fighting is not just cyber war. What you're fighting is greedy people trying to make money, and that's a phenomenon that's been around for an awful long time, and I don't think is going away anytime soon.
Oh, it's the very
and if computers give them the edge, they're here to stay.
Okay, wonderful. Well, there are resolves for it, and I guess you're telling us to look at those resolves. How can we get more information about this if we own a small business? And I'm going to take it to be that people should personally be protecting their information as well. But I know we're not talking about that today, but I think this information is really for everybody, whether they have a business or not.
Yeah, I think that's right. Everybody can benefit from many of the same tips and techniques. And so to learn more, I would suggest your listeners go to www.travelers.com/cyber.
Before we part company here, let me ask you a general question. You talked about those crazy emails that come through, and they come through to all of us, both in business and on our personal email places. And you worry about your grandmother not knowing that she shouldn't open this. You're worrying about your kids not knowing that they should know this. Do you just not open them at all, or is it the opening of it, or is it the downloading of something off of the email that does it?
Well, certainly in many cases, it's the clicking, and then there'll be a link to connect or an attachment to open, and certainly don't do that if you're in any way suspicious. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the reality is it's easy for me to advise if anything looks suspicious, don't open it. But, you know, if you're a business and, you know, that email might be a new customer, there's a reality here that you can't avoid every email. Be aware, be suspicious, and if you don't think you need to open it and you don't need to open it for business purposes, don't. But, you know, that you also need to make sure that you've got some security behind the scenes, because eventually you're going to need to open some emails.
Right.
And you never can tell.
Okay, so get the cybersecurity, and at least you can open up the email and then discern whether you should download something or not, is what you're saying.
Exactly right.
Okay. Well, thank you for all that information. Damn important for everybody, actually, in this day and age. There's no way around it. Thank you again. One more time, where we get more information?
www.travelers.com/cyber.
You're still saying www, huh?
old habits die hard.
Never know. Yeah, well, there's some people that figure, hey, it's not official unless you say that. Okay.
That's right.
Thank you, Tim, for your help today.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Adorable. Just adorable. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time. Join me again tomorrow. Will you do that? Is that a promise? Come on. All right. That's fine. I trust you. So have I passed on valuable information to you today?
It was unbelievably painful.
Well, yeah.